from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Mully and Haw talk Cubs baseball and Chicago sports every weekday morning from 5:30 to 10 on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app as Paredes fouls one away, out of play, off to the right, 1-1. I missed this earlier, but I got a text from Mully and Haw's producer, Dustin Rhodes, asking me if I can join them tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock as Paredes. It's a high fly ball to shallow left, coming in Reynolds. He's under it and makes the catch, 2 away. I've yet to respond to that text. I could do it now over the air and say, yeah, I'll join him. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. What
That's
an honor.
That's up to you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Puffy-chested Dustin.
What a release.
Hearing his name and booking a guest live on the air.
Wow.
It's beautiful stuff.
That's power.
Let's welcome in the man himself. He joins us, Zach Zabeman, the ginger hair genius. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Zach, we are so proud of you. We tell everyone we know you. Thank you for confirming.
Well, this is what happens when you host the most popular morning show in Chicago. So I'm here.
We're glad you're here, Zach. You need to clear up some stuff for us. We've got a lot to talk about. So 18 runs last night, 8 stolen bases. Where did that come from?
A combination of different things. You had guys that were hitting the ball that didn't hit the ball on Sunday. But I really think that this stems from the fact that when you see a team is not holding on runners well, right, and the catcher has difficulty throwing out runners, and you get guys on base, take advantage of that. And that's something that Craig Counsell has tried to do all season long, because the Cubs have been up and down from an offensive standpoint. But they've been hot lately during this stretch where they've taken on teams that are either in last place or next to last. And this is what you have to do. You have to win series. The problem is Cubs are 15-8 over the last 23 games, right? And they're looking to win their fourth consecutive series tonight. They can do that if they beat the Pirates this evening here in Pittsburgh. The problem is, it's not just good enough to win series. You have to time out those wins with losses by the teams that you're trying to catch in the wild card race. So Sunday, you had a great opportunity, right, to sweep the Marlins, move above the 500 mark, and gain ground on Atlanta, the team that currently holds that final wild card spot in the National League, because the Braves lost to the Nationals, but the Cubs happened to lose to the Marlins, because it's hard to sweep series. But because of all the issues that you've had, especially in the first half of the season, you have a very little room for margin now. So that's the issue that the Cubs are facing. But last night, sometimes the other team doesn't have a good night and you take advantage. And that's exactly what the Cubs did. It was a lot of fun. They stole 8 bases for the first time in a game, I think, since 1911. Pat Choate, that was like his third year in the league. And that's not true. They didn't even have radio back then, but it was kind of fun to watch. And the other big thing, for most of this season, the Cubs have had significant difficulty taking advantage with runners in scoring position. They're still near the bottom of the league in average with runners in scoring position. But in that sixth inning, when they had an opportunity to pounce, they did, scoring 8 times. And of course the big hit, Dansby Swanson's grand slam. And I think you guys played this earlier, right? The marquee call of the Grand Slam, where you hear JD talking about the tomato sandwiches. And if you didn't watch the game, you probably have no idea why he would mention that in the middle of a Grand Slam. And the thing is, Dansby Swanson's mom, when he was in middle school and high school, she didn't want him eating the cafeteria food. So I guess it's a Southern staple, right? Like tomato sandwiches. So she's preparing tomato sandwiches, and clearly it works. Look, he's svelte, he's in good shape, he's got the great hair, the masculine beard. We should all be eating more tomato sandwiches.
Well, Dansby with the grand slam and a walk and a couple of runs scored, and you know,
I just went into the Zach cackle.
I love that is that a green tomato sandwich or something?
I don't know.
Is that fried tomato sandwich, right?
It was not fried tomato sandwiches. It was okay. Because you can't look like him if you're eating fried tomato sandwiches. It's got to be raw, healthy tomato.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll pass on that. But I guess when you look at everything that went on yesterday, let's take a listen. The Cubs released Drew Smyly, the lefty. I guess there's multiple reasons the lefty reliever's released, but maybe the most important one, it helps them avoid the $2.5 million buyout of his contract next year. It was interesting because Craig Counsell was asked about it after the game, and let's take a listen.
There's a report that you guys waived
Smiley. Yeah, no comment on that.
He didn't seem too happy, or he didn't want to comment on it.
Well, nothing's official yet, right? But okay. The reality is, if you start to take a look at the way the Cubs have operated here, if you're Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins, you have to also look at next year. Right now, the guys in the clubhouse are trying to win right now, and they're trying to put themselves in a position where they can make a little bit of a wild card push here. And if they keep winning, maybe they get lucky. Some of the teams on top of them start to lose, and you put yourself in a position where somehow you find yourself in the playoffs. But I think you also have to look at the finances going forward and give yourself the best opportunity to take advantage heading into the offseason. So that's where the two things are kind of at play here. And the other thing is, you have Jordan Wicks, the rookie left-hander, who's making another rehab start Friday for Iowa as he tries to work his way back from that oblique injury. You figure if that goes well, he's been pitching very well down in the minor leagues. That'll give you an opportunity to have a left-hander come up. So I think those are the different things at play that upper management is probably taking a look at. But right after a game in which you score 18 runs and win, and the only thing Craig Counsell was thinking about right now is just stacking wins together to have the team with an opportunity to possibly make the wild card and make a September meaningful for the Cubs. He's not thinking about the front office moves. So that's why I think he gave the answer that he gave.
I'll push back a little, Zach. You're a manager in charge of a team that, and depending on the day, you're in and out of relevance. You're in and out of contention. You need all hands on deck. You need everybody committed to the idea. Let us be the ones who consider it folly. You're in the clubhouse. You need to be committed to the idea that you can catch the Braves. To catch the Braves, you need all the Drew Smyleys you can get. Left-handed relievers, they don't really have a surplus of. Jordan Wicks is great, but he's often injured. This is a money move. $2.5 million for the buyout, $1.2 million for the rest of the season. If I'm the manager, I'm ticked off that my boss is taking away one of my options in the bullpen.
It's a business, right? At the end of the day, as much as we look at it from a fan standpoint, it's a business. And that never gets lost on anyone who operates daily in Major League Baseball. And sometimes it's not fun, but that's the reality of the situation.
And you know, it's a good reminder, Zach, when you mentioned that you got to look at 2025. It's a good reminder that, you know, Miguel Amaya in particular seemed like a guy you weren't looking for in 2025, and you might have been looking for another catcher, and all of a sudden he's kind of catching fire a little bit, and he's doing some things, and maybe he's renewed his status as the catcher of the future, the catcher of right now.
Can I go on a little tangent here? Because I think you make a great point. You know, we've heard so much about the disposition of Craig Counsell during games because the camera catches him at certain points and he looks stoic, very similar to Lovie Smith and David Mully. You guys know that during the Lovie Smith era, this was a big topic of conversation. Why doesn't the guy show emotion? Why is he always stoic? He looks the same whether they're winning or losing, as if that all of a sudden is going to be able to change what people do on the field in any sport. And then you have guys like Ozzie Guillen and Lou Piniella, and you want to see the emotion. And when they show you the emotion, then people tee off on them for being out of control. to me, you should credit the Cubs coaching staff with finding a way to fix Miguel Amaya after a horrendous start to the season. He had that huge leg kick, right? And with pitchers throwing in the upper 90s in Major League Baseball, once you have that big leg kick, it's really hard to time up the fastball. You're automatically late. So what they saw is a guy in Miguel Amaya who has a pretty good eye when it comes to the strike zone. How do you get him to be able to speed up the bat speed without losing the power? So they came to him and they said, get rid of the leg kick, try a toe tap. We're going to give you a few days off to work on the thing. And he was apprehensive, as any player would be, to make such a drastic change in the middle of the season. So one of the Cubs' assistant hitting coaches, Juan Cabrera, good friends with Nelson Cruz, longtime major leaguer, got Nelson Cruz to put a little video together on the phone to talk to Miguel Amaya about switching things up. So Amaya made two changes. One was the toe tap, and he realized during the days that he had off working on the swing that he did not lose his power even though he got rid of the big leg kick. The other big change, this hasn't been talked about a lot, he started using the same bat model as Nelson Cruz, and those things have worked for the last month plus. Miguel Amaya has been on fire. Specifically, the last seven games, he's hitting .500. I think he's driven in 11 runs in those seven games, and this is the kind of player that the Cubs thought they had in the minor leagues. He did not have a lot of minor league at-bats before he became a big leaguer, but it's nice to see some of that come to fruition, and credit the Cubs coaching staff for making little moves like that to help make players better. They've done a terrific job of helping Pete Crow Armstrong acclimate himself and learn the big league game at the big league level, which is so hard to do.
I love your tangents, Zach. That was a really good one. So now do PCA. What's the biggest difference? I know the coaching staff has helped bring out his potential and get all the production, but what specifically have you seen in the last month or so that makes him so effective? Because
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He's batting eighth now. I don't think he's going to be batting eighth forever. And he is, as we saw last night, we're reminded, he is a threat on the bases.
He's a threat on the bases. He's a threat playing baseball in every aspect. But he's also learning the game at the major league level. I think one of the biggest changes he's made, you see him choking up on the bat a little bit more. He's not trying to pull everything. Sometimes it's okay to go the other way or hit the ball low and give yourself an opportunity. If you put the ball in play and you're PCA, because of that speed, you're putting so much pressure on the defensive players. And I think he's beginning to understand that, and not just understand it, but be able to do something about it. I talked to him in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, do you feel like you're at a point now where you're beginning to have a significant impact on the way things happen during a game? And he shook his head and he said no. And one of the things he pointed to was, remember that game that the Cubs won on the Mike Tauchman walk-off against St. Louis? And Nico Hoerner had a big stolen base in that game to put himself in scoring position to create the opportunity for Tauchman. And that's what PCA pointed to have a significant impact on whether or not your team wins or loses. You have to be able to make significant plays at big moments, whether it's with a steal, whether it's with the bat, whether it's with the glove, whether it's with the arm. And there's so many things that he's been working on this year. Like initially, they just told him to acclimate himself defensively and make sure that you're doing the right things out in center field, understanding how much room you have between the warning track and the wall, which base to throw to properly to make sure that you didn't give the opponent an extra opportunity to score. It's little things like that that you would never think of. And while he's worried about that, you also got a hit. So that's why it took a little bit of time. But at least now you're beginning to see some of the things that the coaching staff has spent a lot of time working with PCA on, and he's a really good player. So I think you're beginning to see him make the strides we always knew the speed was there. He's an elite base runner, but it's knowing when to take advantage when you're on the bases. We always knew he was an elite defensive player, but it's how to have the biggest maximum impact with your defense, and he's beginning to do that as well.
Zach, we have talked quite a bit about why the Cubs can't put together kind of sweeps. You know, at this point in the year, they've only had, I think, the longest winning streak. They've won five in a row twice, and that makes them now need to put kind of 10 in a row and take advantage of everything. Difficult to do when you got young pitching, you know, Skeens, Jones today, Skeens tomorrow. Did they save any stolen bases or runs that they can apply to those games? How does
every game's
work?
On it. Well, let me push back on something you said.
Okay.
It's difficult to do what you said.
I know.
At any point during a season. So
right.
I think that's – and the Cubs put themselves in a big hole with that tough first half that they had. In large part, I think, because every major name on this team dealt with some sort of injury during the first half. And it took them a while to get healthy and then start to produce. And they played, I think, one good team during this stretch. That was Cleveland, and they got swept by the Guardians during that series. It's hard. It's really hard to consistently stack wins together. It's hard to consistently play good ball. But here is where you are. You have Justin Steele on the mound. And to me, you know, Shota Imanaga has gotten all of the publicity because he's had such a fantastic season. But if you look at what Steele has done on the mound, I know the one loss record with Steele doesn't reflect how well he's pitched, but you guys watch the games. You know that every time Justin Steele is on the mound, you have an opportunity to win a ball game. And you can make the case that the Cubs have a better pitcher on the mound today, even though Jared Jones is going for Pittsburgh and kind of reminds me with Paul Skeens. It's like that 1-2 punch that the Cubs used to have with Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor back in the day. That's kind of what they're trying to build here in Pittsburgh. But this is an opportunity for you now. The bats are hot. Take advantage of it, even though each day is on its own. But I think the Cubs are always trying to steal bases when the opportunities present themselves, and they're always trying to take the extra base and be aggressive from an offensive standpoint. That's how they tried to compensate for some of the inability to hit with runners in scoring position. But you know what helps in a big way? When you have your 7, 8, and 9 hitters producing, it just changes the whole dynamic of the lineup, and that's where PCA and Miguel Amaya have made a big difference lately.
Dustin thinks I'm making too big of a deal out of Paul Skeens. What say you?
I think Dustin's jealous of what Pittsburgh has in that right-hander. He's pretty darn good, isn't he? I mean, you don't have to be a Pirates fan, a Cubs fan. If you've been watching Major League Baseball for, I don't know, a month, you can tell this guy's a little different than everybody else.
Zach, just a point of rule, if I could. I'm just wondering, I was watching the Cubs game the other night, and, you know, it was sad to see him not get the victory. But at one point, a guy, Jesus Sanchez, has walked, but he doesn't go to first base, and he comes out for a pinch runner, and then it ends up being an unassisted out.
That was brilliant.
Out.
They appealed
to it. Let me tell you something. I had no idea what was going on. I did not know that rule. Are you a master of obscure rules like that, or is that just the Cubs?
I'm just very thankful Ron Coomer was in the booth. We kind of talked it out. And if Coom had not been in the booth while we were calling that play, I could still be talking to this very moment trying to figure out what transpired. It was a peculiar play. No one's ever seen it. But credit the Cubs coaching staff. And
yeah.
I heard J-Mo said this. Jameson Taillon said this with John Heyman on his podcast. He said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but, you know, they asked him about Craig Counsell. And one of the things he said was, you just feel like you're walking into the ballpark every game with the smartest guy in the building. So, again, that's the kind of respect the clubhouse has for Craig Counsell. So even though he doesn't throw his hands up in the air, he doesn't rant and rave, he's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes to try and make this team better. But this team has some limitations, and I think that's why you guys asked me about the business of baseball earlier. You can't ignore that. I mean, there are some changes that have to take place at the end of the season, but they still have a chance to make a little bit of a push here.
I'm glad we talked about it because it was a largely irrelevant moment and we didn't really go over it, but that is super cool.
It was
that
super
you
cool. Even,
that you know, and hey, what, something's wrong over here.
And a good lesson for
yes,
the
I
next
agree.
Time your guy gets intentionally walked.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah, exactly it, right.
And also, how do you score that? I think that was the thing that was very difficult for me at the time because I was filling in for Pat. He was working the TV side. And usually you would go to Pat. He's like the Dalai Lama of this stuff, right?
That's a broadcaster's problem. Nobody at home is worried about scoring it,
it's
Zach.
It's an unassisted out from the catcher. That's what I read.
Is that what it was?
I swear to God.
I'm
yes,
relieved.
Yes. That's, yes. And then Christian Pache, the pinch runner who yes. came in, it does not come in
it's
as a
pinch
runner.
Runner.
He comes in as a defensive replacement.
Ah, see, that's yeah. exactly
you are
right.
a master of obscurity, yeah. Zach.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. So there's a lot of stuff that was taking place that day.
You
yes.
are the ginger hair genius.
You
and
are.
You are the Craig Council of broadcasters.
Thanks for booking yourself today, Zach.
you're the best,
I miss
buddy.
You guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Zach.
You.
You too.
We
By love
the way,
you dearly.
I'm here in Pittsburgh, and I'm just a stone's throw away from where the Steelers play at Acrisure Stadium, which is right down the street from PNC Park where the Pirates play. I'm still waiting. Have you guys gotten any calls since the preseason started about people wanting Justin Fields to replace Caleb Williams?
You just can't help yourself.
Not yet.
You can't help yourself. No. The answer is no, Zach. Have a great day.
No one from Pittsburgh. All right, buddy.
See you guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.